about time for us to get started. We've got a few announcements. It's good to see everybody this morning.
Amen.
Let's remember all these on our prayer list, and thankfully it's gone down. So, but let's remember these and the ones at Providence Place, Katie Hensley and Mr. and Mrs. Leathers, and Jimmy Mabry at Diversity Care. Robert, do you have any update on Iris Castile?
No, because
no. Okay.
It's about the same.
Or Wayne Lester?
About the same.
Okay. And Noah's doing good. We're proud of that. And Sandra, your sister-in-law, how's she doing?
Well, she's still the same, but she goes next Thursday. They're going to give her 8 shots in her back. All going back.
All right. Well, let's continue to pray for Joyce Laughlin. James is... thanked us for the prayers for his dad's sister, I guess his aunt, and she's having 7 stents. Let's continue to pray for her. And also, Robert went back to the doctor last Tuesday and took him off all of his diabetic medicines for 3 months. And see how that goes. His A1C was below his 5.8 last time, and I guess the medications could cause problems with your kidneys.
That's what they think it is now, so
okay.
They may be free from it.
Well, you certainly have our prayers.
Yeah.
This is posted on a bulletin board, Church of Christ Disaster Relief, which we've helped out with that for several years now. And so far this year, we've helped raise $4,321,333.05. And there's a copy of this on the bulletin board. And Church of Christ has been big into helping with the disaster release, and we're proud to have been a part of it. Also, we got a thank you note from Ethical Media. It says, "Dear brethren, thank you so much for your generous $600 contribution to our work with Ethical Media. As you know from our newsletter, we're reaching thousands every week with the gospel. Thank you again, sincerely, Gary and Sheila and McDade." And our congregation has really been blessed that we can help others. We'll continue to do whatever we can. I'll post this on the bulletin board. I don't think I have any more announcements. Anybody have anything, or did I miss anything? Yeah. If not, then our service and song.
It's good to see you this morning.
Amen.
Let's open our song books to number 240. 240.
Brother Tom, tonight is singing time. Our singing night.
This is the third Sunday already. Yes, we'll be having singing this evening. No potluck. That's kind of in the past this year. So maybe next year will be a much better year for all of us. Number 240. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right,
somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, well, he will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
It's turning number 287. And for those who can, let's stand. And after this song, we'll be led in prayer by Brother Tom.
In vain, in high and holy lakes, my soul her grateful voice would raise. For who can sing the worthy praise of the wonderful love of Jesus? Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. A joy by day, a peace by night, in storms of calm, in darkness light, in pain above, in weakness might, is the wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. My hope for pardon when I call, my trust for lifting when I fall. In life, in death, my all in all is the wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love.
For the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 449. 449.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God. Sinners to reclaim. place condemned he stood. Seal my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless lamb.
Maybe difficult for us to think that the Lord is partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine in heaven itself. He said anew, I'm taking it new with you in the Father's kingdom. And so spiritually speaking, that's the meaning of the idea. The meaning of it is that this thought is in the body that he presented for sin, and he bore our, in his body our own sins. Let's pray together as we partake of this bread. Our kind Father, help us to remember what Jesus did for each of us in bearing our sins in his own body upon the cross. And to that end, may we partake of this in such a way that please thee, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Also offering the cleansing of those sins, and his blood offers us that way. And Jesus said this was to remind us of his blood shed for many for the remission of sins. Let's pray to that end. Our kind Father in heaven, thank you so much for Jesus and for his way of life, for the fact that he bore our sins in his own body, and by his blood we're made cleansed of those sins even today. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Has everyone now been served what wishes to be served today? Though not particularly a part of the Lord's Supper itself, it is a time convenient in various congregations for there to be a contribution given back to the work of the Lord in this place that is done throughout the world. has been read to us in our announcements today about the disaster relief that we're part of through our good brethren in Nashville who are working with the people and who have a readiness to whatever emergency comes up in this North American continent. And we have wonderful service that's being done that way, and we are a major part of that particular work. So be it known that when a tornado comes through or hurricane comes through and rising the water, whatever have you in those places, that our brethren are faithful and we are a part of that brethren. We're right there at the scene soon after that time because of our contribution. Let's pray to that end. Kind Heavenly Father, help us to remember that as we do this, we find ourselves with wonderful blessing of the Lord. And as we do so, help us to be people who do that in such a way that our hearts are joyous and happy in regard to our giving. In Jesus' name, we humbly pray. And amen. Amen. Please, if you would, add to your prayer listings, Brother Israel Rodriguez. Brother Rodriguez worked in the Jonesboro, Arkansas place with our good friend Kenneth Gossett in preaching the gospel up there in Jonesboro area. And then he moved to Texas, and he was well known and recognized for his biblical studies and became a teacher in Brown Trail School of Preaching in the Fort Worth area. There are four family members of that school that are with the virus this morning, and husband and wife situation. And so Brother Rodriguez himself has come down with this in a major way and asked our prayers here at Crockett for him. Because he has not only the virus, but he has double pneumonia on top of that. He's in the hospital there, and it's really serious condition, as you well know. Any pneumonia that's out of control is always dangerous to person, and much less the virus plus. But Brother Rodriguez, please remember him. Thank you.
We have 18 present this morning. Today is November 15th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our song books at number 705. 705 will be the song of invitation after our lesson today. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 286. 286. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if it's shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord and your rule o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith,
yes, living by faith.
In Jesus above,
in Jesus above,
trusting, confiding. Living by faith,
yes, living.
Jesus above.
In Jesus above.
Trusting, confiding.
Since we've looked at the various nature of man and nature of God, today we have to look at the idea of what God has said to His church in regard to its purpose and plan. Let's look in the Bible and see what it has to say in regard to His church. Who is the real leader of the Lord's church? Notice in Matthew 16 and at verse 13 beginning, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they began to reply, various ones, the prophets that had lived among them and been known by them. John the Baptist concluded. And then He said to them, "Whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus blessed him and said, "Simon Barjona," meaning son of Jonah, He said, "Son of Jonah, this flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but My Father who is in heaven revealed this to you." And in reference to that particular matter, Jesus talked of him in regard to the way of life that He wanted people to live. He wanted people to live in compliance with the teaching that He was the Son of God. Later, when John chapter 14, when He says to the disciples, I leave, I'll go to the Father," they began to weep about that. They just didn't say that their way of going on without His being present physically with them. And He assured them, reassured them again and again, that He would be there with them because He would send another comforter, an Allos comforter, a comforter like unto Me. And as a result of leading that way of life, He would do this in regard to their way of doing things. And He says in regard to this way of life, it's a way that is right and good and godly. And so He wants them to follow that right way and do His will as they live from day to day. The idea of this is to be a person who follows in His church, because He says, "I will build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." When He told that to Simon Peter, and later on He's talking to them about how He lived and how to behave, He's talking about people who were converted to Him and who would follow Him in their righteous way. In Ephesians chapter 3, the last couple of verses of that chapter, it tells us, "To Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, through the power that resteth within us, to Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end." Glory found where? In the church. Not sometimes in and sometimes out, not most of the time out and never in, but He had reference to those who are participating in the church in such a way as they find themselves doing that righteous conduct in their worship of God. And so the church is to honor the Lord throughout all ages, world without end. Think about the relationship that Jesus has to His church in building it. and think of our Lord in regard to the way that he wanted to work with the members of his church so that they would glorify God in the way that they live and do. Let's talk about the church from the standpoint of the mission of the church of the Lord. As we read in Luke 1 at verse 17, Jesus' mission was to make ready a people. John the Baptist came teaching to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so John came preparing the people that they would follow him who would come after. And Jesus said in Luke 19 at verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Notice that Jesus came for a purpose to come and bring salvation, hope for mankind. That statement is made actually in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, when he says that God so loved the world. He so loved the world. He loved the world in such a great abundance that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then he says, following that, in John 3 at 17, he says, for regarding this matter, he says, for the Son of Man is not come to seek and to condemn the lost, but he's come to save, reach and save the lost. He didn't come to condemn people. He didn't come to say, goody, you found yourself in sin, and I'm here to tell you that you were wrong and that there's no hope for you. To the contrary, they were to be people who followed the Lord in his righteous way, and they would be forgiven. He told them in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not will be condemned. Later on, the Hebrew writer would tell us regarding without faith it is impossible to please God in Hebrews chapter 11. And thus Jesus didn't have to say there in that statement made in Mark 16:15 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized not, but he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. Because if we don't believe in him, we will not practice what he said to do, and therefore we will be people who are condemned by him. So the mission of the Lord's church is to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I'm so thankful for this congregation, been a part of it for many years more than I have been up here, because you were a part of a great work, and those of you who were before you, your parents and grandparents before you, they were supporters of the Bible Speaks program in Jackson, Mississippi by television every Sunday morning. And as a result of the contributions given, made possible that particular television broadcast down there, telecast as it were. And not only there, but also the replay of those particular recordings was done in Dufuniac Springs, Florida. Some of you have been down in the state of Florida, maybe you've been up through Dufuniac Springs. It's in more or less the panhandle of Florida. And they used that same material right down there because they enjoyed the Bible study question and answer program that we had. Well, the brethren up here were supportive of that. They made it available to them. And as a result, seeking and saving the lost was the idea of what Jesus said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's why that twice a week we find ourselves in this time of year with coolness in the building, coming up to warm up the building hallways back there and to warm up the baptistry itself. And so it will hold that heat for a day or two. As we bring it up to a heat and then turn down the thermostat just a little bit, it still maintains that warmth throughout the next day or two of time. And that's from Tuesday and Wednesday, as well as Saturday and Sunday of time. So anyone that wants to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ during the course of that week of time can find themselves into a situation where they, instead of shivering when they come out of the baptistry, they find themselves wonderfully cared for and wonderfully a great hope that they have. Think about the vision that the Lord's church had. In Romans chapter 8 verse 6, he says that you become spiritually minded people. The preaching of the gospel is to bring that idea in front of people all the time. And as a result, we find ourselves becoming more spiritually minded. instead of the works of the flesh and the lust of the flesh, and satisfying the lust of the flesh with our hands, with our feet, with our eyes, with our tongue, with the ears that we hear things with, we find ourselves wanting to be people who are free from that lust and be made servants of righteousness. And so the preaching and teaching is done from this pulpit by whomever it is that comes here, and whomever comes in gospel meetings and lectureship programs, they're teaching us to be spiritually minded individuals in life. And that's the way that Paul wrote it in Romans 8 verse 6. In Galatians 5 at verse 13, he says, "For brethren," talking about the people that obeyed the Lord, "for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." The preaching and teaching of the gospel, the vision that we have in mind, is to teach one another to serve one another. We're to look out for the interest of each other and thoughtfulness of each other. In a telephone call in more modern times that we make, and we ask, "How are you doing?" It's not a matter of, "Okay, I'm doing fine, doing well, how are you doing?" It's a matter of, if there is difficulty, if there is need underway, if there is some circumstance that's beyond your ability to take care of it individually, you can tell that to a brother or sister who gives a call to you and find themselves always being a call back to them, because the telephone works both directions. And so when they call you, be honest and open with them and tell them regarding the needs that are here and there and available. And as we talked this morning in regard to the good work that's being done and the disaster relief efforts being made out of Nashville, these are part of this great work. He didn't tell us exactly how to do that, didn't tell us individually how to do that, but he told us to be thoughtful about one another and serve one another in love. In a love that we have for those brethren, in the love that they have an effort to put virtually millions of dollars involved in the disaster relief from the tornadoes that's been this year and from the hurricanes that have been visited upon America this year. And to know that those brethren are wanting to be there. They're wanting to take those trucks and those tractor trailer rigs, and they want to be there as soon as they can, as soon as they're allowed to come in to that safely to be there and to serve those people who live in that area. And many of them find themselves enjoying this way of life. There are missionary work that's being done around the world. We've heard of them down in Central America being punished because they're servants of Christ Jesus. And some of those brethren are just punished to the point that they have to leave the country. They leave that way. And we've heard of stories where the people there have overcome their governmental positions. And they got in touch with the brethren and said, "Please, if you would come back here, come back and live in our community. You were people who served and who helped in our community. And we've got people that need food. We've got people that need some clothing. We need some shelter. We've got people in need of what you've supplied. And though you left because of the persecutions and punishments that were being done, please return. That has changed now, and we want you to come back." Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a wonderful thing to hear? That these people become spiritually minded and they love one another and serve one another. And individually, in 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 15, he tells them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and knowledge. He had just noted in 1 Peter 2 at 2, "Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." After you do what? In 1 Peter 2 at 1, he says, "Put aside all malice, all hatreds in your heart, all terribleness in your ways, all sinful ways of your life." He says, putting away that, "as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." The less we read God's word, the less we read of his teaching, the less of that kind of growth that we have. And that's what happened to the brethren in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. They were people who found themselves obeying the Lord at one time in their lives, but they didn't continue to be as faithful as they should have been. And he says there in Hebrews 5 at 12, "For when the time has come, that you ought to be teachers of God's Word. You have actual need that somebody come and teach you again, which will be the oracles of the first principles of righteousness, and not of strong meat. For you are people who are young, and you are young in the faith and young in teaching. He tells them that they find themselves not eating meat which belongeth to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so these people are to grow and to be able to talk to others about this way of life that I live, answer questions about this way of life that I live in a very positive way. And Hebrews 12 and 5 and verse 12, he says, the time has come that you ought to do that, but you have need that one return to you and teach you those first principles of the gospel of Christ, such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Well, Peter's saying that to the brethren over there in 1 Peter 2:2. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We know that they didn't grow as they should. They didn't become thoughtful of others as they should. And as a result, they've forgotten all about the first principle things of being taught. And so they needed somebody to come and restore to them that first principles that were done. There are whole congregations that are like that. I hear of young preachers going to places all the time that find themselves getting back to the first principles of the Bible because the brethren are so ill-informed as to the fundamentals of obeying the Lord. What did Jesus say in John 8:24? You must believe that I am He, or you will die in your sins. In John 8:24, he's talking about the people believing as they should, believing He is the Son of God, believing that He has brought that deliverance for us. Wonderful is His teaching and way. Here's the idea. And so we're to be people who believe in Him. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, what did he say basically is the idea of repenting? I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He's talking about people that they, in a superstitious way, believe the tower had fallen on them and killed them. And he asked them, he said to them, listen, as you find yourself looking at your life and you're guilty of wrongdoing and you don't repent of it, you will likewise perish. You'll perish without hope that you have in mind for these others. You will perish with your way of life. He wanted them to confess Christ in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. He said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But he says there in Matthew 10 at verse 32, in reference to their confessing the Lord. And he says, regarding that matter, I'll confess you before the Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, if you don't say anything about me, then I'll deny you before the Father who's in heaven. And then before he left this earth, he told his disciples the following, as you read in Mark 16:15-16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Once you believe and repent and are baptized, once you find yourself going forward in this way of life, being leaving and thus confessing the faith in Christ Jesus, that you now are prepared to teach people the furtherness of the gospel. So when they're teaching people the gospel, they believe and they're baptized shall be saved. When they're saved from sin, they're to do what? They're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And what do they do in growing? They partake of the milk of God's word that they may grow thereby. And the milk of God's Word helps people to grow. The teaching of God's Word, and this is the point I made at the beginning of this thought, is how do we find ourselves in reading God's Word? Do we find ourselves in a joy of growing in faith and knowledge about Him? Or do we find ourselves there amiss? And dust on the Bible is an old song that's so true, because dust on the Bible brings dust in the heart of mankind. Sad it is. Think about speaking the truth in love and being a follower of God as His dear children. In Ephesians 5 at verse 1, when he tells the brethren there to be followers of God as dear children, coming into Him as a child of God and learning more of His gospel by the milk of His word,
We please God by growing in that process. He'd expect us to be teachers of His Word to others at that point in time. He expected us to grow. And as we grow along, we may say to others, do you know about this? Have you read this? Have you studied this particular matter? To which they might reply, I don't have any idea about that. Then we can share with them the ideals of the Lord and maybe make another person converted to the way of the Lord and His way of life. That's the goal. That's the idea of the Lord's church, being people who are being that way in life as we work toward others. When we talk about this way of life, we're talking about a way that it leads ultimately to our death. And blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. In Revelation 14 and 13, it says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors. And then notice who interrupts that particular thought. He says, blessed are those who, as the Spirit says, yea, saith the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there. John is making this revelation. And in John's teaching the people in Revelation 14, 13, that you are to be people who die in the Lord, that you may rest from your labors. Yea, saith the Spirit, and their works do follow them. What have these people been doing that find themselves old enough to pass away? What have these people been doing in life? They've been partaking of the milk of God's Word, growing thereby, teaching others the Word of the Lord. And what do they find themselves in? They find themselves passing away from this earthly life. And their works, yea, saith the Spirit, do follow them. The Holy Spirit is wanting us to follow that way of the Lord that He taught, that we might live that way for the rest of our lives. That's the church of the Lord. And notice that the bride and the Spirit, in Revelation 22, the bride and the Spirit say, come. Let him that is athirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. That's why we offer invitations, as we do each Sunday morning and each Wednesday night. And for that fact, each Sunday night too, and throughout the week by way of our radio broadcast. Wonderful blessings that we have as a possibility for us to be people who serve the cause of God. As we do that, we're really, really following the Lord's will and the Lord's way. And if we do not do that, then it's apparent because we do not continue to grow in the milk of God's Word. Therefore, we don't get to the strong meat of God's Word and the strength of it that we have. And we begin to look at things and we discern. We know what's the difference in good and evil. Thus, we make a judgment on a movie that we want to go see. There are certain things we want to close our eyes on. We want to close our ears on. We don't want to hear them say it. We don't want to see them do it. Because in that particular movie, it's a way of life that is not right. If we find ourselves along with our friends out here and they want us to do something that's sinful against God, what do we want to do? We want to be people who close our eyes and ears to it. We want to turn our head from it. We do not want to be a part of that way of life. Why? Because that way of life leads unto death, leads to hurt and ruin. That's not the way that is described about the children of God faithfully following the Lord's will and the Lord's way. So the church of the Lord is to be people who begin with the Lord itself, who walk in the way that the Lord is said to walk, who die in the way that the Lord says to die. Blessed are the dead, that they may rest, yea, saith the Spirit, from their labors. What a blessing it will be in your life and mine to be part of that way of life. As we think about the Lord in His right way, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, would you please come as we stand together and as we sing this good hymn selected.
Jesus,
standing for the right,
holding up His banner in the thickest fire,
listening for His orders,
ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus,
serving
Jesus, who will make reply, I
His word we see. On our side forever will our Savior be. Whom will follow Jesus, who will make reply, I am on the Lord's side, Master here am I. Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply, I am on the Lord's side, Master here am I.
Look forward to you being a part of the singing tonight, along with others that we've invited to come out and be part of this group. So this morning I put on the Facebook, so a lot of people who live in the church come be with us to sing tonight. And so God bless you, everyone. Look forward to you being here tonight at 6 and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. God bless you.
Turn to number 43. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story.
These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.